One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is the Midford Sisters. These were sisters of the sort of the Kardashians of their day, Colonel, in Great Britain.
They have the big booty?
Huh?
Did they have the big booty?
I don't know, but they were known for being very controversial. They were members of the English aristocracy, and they're kind of like political groupies. One of them actually ends up having this intimate relationship with her Hitler, good friend. Brandy's good friend.
Brandy's good friend.
So we're going to talk about the Midford Sisters, but before we do, let me remind you, we are a comedy podcast. We use adult language, so if adult language offends you...
So if you're not an adult, turn this off.
Yes.
And if you're an adult with a somehow fake sense of morals and ethics, and you're kidding yourself and you think you're better than us, then go fuck yourself and listen to something else.
Well, yeah, we would like to suggest you might try listening to, if you like true crime, listen to our friends that They Walk Among Us, the number one podcast colonel in Great Britain. It's well deserved with our friends Ben and Rosanna.
Yeah, we also can listen to
Insight.
Already Gone and Insight.
Already Gone, yeah, with our friend Nina. Insight with our friends Charlie and Allie.
Nina's not my friend no more, Timmy.
Nina's not your friend? No. What happened? Did you have a falling out?
I had a falling out with Nina.
I don't.
We got a podcast battle going on, Timmy.
Oh, you do?
It's like East Coast, West Coast.
Well, you know, we're going to lose that. You had that whole thing going with Allie. And,
I won.
I'm not sure you did, because they're still like in the top 20.
I still won.
Yeah, but I think, you know, success is the best revenge. And
if you want to measure it that way, fine. But
so you got a little competition going with our good friend Nina from Already Gone.
Well, yesterday was my dog's birthday, and she
Rudy's birthday.
A handsome dog. And
how old is Rudy now?
Rudy's 6 years old, Timmy.
And how old is that in dog years?
Six.
Okay. Did you have a nice... we're missing, of course, our co-host, our good friend Brandy.
Yeah, she's out still trying to ruin Christmas for people.
Yeah, well, yes, and, you know, getting ready to ruin New Year's for everyone now. She's probably on a drunk. That's what I... Yeah.
It was a winter solstice. She's still dancing around naked, Timmy. You know she
in the graveyard
like that. Yeah.
So. Well, you know, I thought that perhaps she... I was going to say she was on assignment in North Korea, but then I know no one would have believed that. Yeah, but, you know, she is good friends with Kim Jong-un.
She is. Yeah. She's taller than him, but they're friends.
Yeah. Well, she'd be much taller than him if it wasn't for his hair.
That's true. So
Brandy's not with us. How was your holiday, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, my holiday was interesting, Tim. I had all the boys home.
Okay, you got the Taylor and Tanner
and Logan. And now the boys are getting older, and they're becoming, I think, more like their dad, and that they're a little less intolerant of people, too. They're less tolerant, I'm sorry.
Well, you're not
tolerant.
Known for your tolerance.
Yeah. And my wife decided to take them shopping.
Okay.
With her mother.
Your mother-in-law, then.
My mother-in-law, who's a wretched woman, just a truly wretched woman to me.
You know, every time you say, I don't believe that.
No, she is. She is. I mean, imagine a devil on steroids with a toothache, Timmy, and hungry at the same time. That's how my mother-in-law is. And she has this way of just picking at you.
Okay.
You know, just picking at you. So the boys come through the door,
And I in her defense, Renee could have done a lot better.
Yeah, than for a mother. Yeah.
So no, I meant for with you.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Renee and the boys come through the door, and the boys are kind of giggling, and Renee is just, she's smoking, Timmy. She's got smoke coming off her head.
What was wrong?
Well, that's what I asked her, and she said, ask your son. Well, being that my three boys are idiots, Timmy, I don't know which one to ask.
You don't know where to start.
So I'm like, which one of you did it? And all Tanner and Logan immediately pointed to Taylor. So I said, what happened? And he said, Dad, I don't know what happened. And I said, well, walk me through what happened. And he said, you know, the whole time we were shopping, you know how Grandma makes, because the thing is, Tanner is clearly Grandma's favorite.
Okay.
Okay. So she'll make little remarks to Taylor and whatever. And Taylor was, she finally asked Taylor about his job and
And he's doing, everything. He's doing well.
Yes. He's doing very well. He's got the band. And he's got a job at a real estate company writing for them. And anyway, she asked him about the job and then asked him about a restaurant. But anyway, she finally said the wrong thing to him.
What did she say?
I believe she kind of, she said something that his, well, couldn't you have got that job without a college, Taylor has two college
right,
degrees.
Right, and he works in a real estate. He's in real
estate. As a writer, yeah, and he has a degree in English, degree in philosophy, and she said you went to school all those years and to get that job. Ooh. And that was just the last thing for Taylor. And Taylor said, Dad, I blacked out. I don't remember it. But in the middle of Macy's, Taylor said, fuck you, Grandma. Three words that you rarely hear in combination, especially at Christmas time.
Yeah, that's
although
not...
you probably hear it more Christmas time. But he just blurted out, fuck you, Grandma.
I bet Renee was pleased with that.
She was not pleased. So then the next night, the whole family comes over. Her family comes over. And Renee's mom is complaining about the pasta salad that Renee made because she loves the pasta salad, but she don't like onions. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting on the couch, and she's in the dining room, and she said, oh, I wish they wouldn't have put onions in this pasta salad. I love this pasta salad. So I just yelled from my couch, fuck you, Grandma. Pick them out.
I'm sure Renee loved that as well.
She was not as amused as the boys and the rest of the family.
And you guys have fun. It sounds like at the holidays.
We do. Grandma didn't have a whole lot of fun, but fuck her.
Do you generally get along well with her, or no?
I get along well with her as long as she remembers a place to me.
I see. Yes. All right. Well, speaking of families. We're going to talk about a pretty strange family, Colonel. And when we're talking about the story, the Mitford sisters. You ready to talk about this thing?
I'm ready, Timmy.
All right. This is history again, history-related topic, you know, that we can't do when Brandy's
around. No, she just doesn't.
Well, she likes to focus on serial killers and the more morbid, darker side of human nature.
Yeah. Sometimes, I think she gets a perverse thrill from it to me.
You think that she, it's like whacking off.
I think it's sexual, Timmy.
You think so?
I think it's sexual.
Yeah. All right. The Mitford sisters were members of the English aristocracy and would become, as I said, the Kardashians of their day. They were six sisters in all. They grew up in the early 20th century. They would become involved with very powerful men. They were kind of political groupies.
Okay, I gotcha.
Two of the sisters would go on to become best-selling authors. There was only one boy born in this family, and he was a middle child. His name was Tom. He ended up getting killed during the Second World War, fighting in Burma.
I wouldn't want to fight. I wouldn't get killed in Burma. If I got killed in World War II, I wanted to be landing on the beaches of Normandy, Timmy.
Yeah, well,
Iwo Jima, but Burma.
Tom would not fight in Europe because he was a fascist. So they put him in the Asian theater. But I've been in Burma. I actually walked across the border. I was in northern Thailand, and, you know, we were at at this point, they call the Golden Triangle because it's where Laos, Cambodia, and Burma, or Myanmar, it's now comes together. And I just kind of walked across the border and came back just so I could say I had been in Burma. But anyway, he died in Burma. But the sisters achieved notoriety for their controversial, stylish lives as young people. So as I said, they're kind of like the Kardashian. I don't know how, they probably didn't have big butts, but they had big mouths, that's for sure. They were known for as I said, for being involved with powerful men. And they were a very diverse family. One was a devoted communist, while the rest were devoted fascists, Colonel. So you can imagine what their Christmas holiday, Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays are like around the old dining room table. For the sake of this podcast, we're only going to focus on three of the more controversial sisters. Diana, who was not the oldest of the six, but she was the oldest of the three, she would marry the leader of the UK Fascist Party. So there's something you can be proud of. Jessica, who was the one younger than, or actually Jessica was the youngest, she ended up she turned her back on her whole family and become a communist. And Unity Mitford, the middle daughter, would end up moving to Germany and become a devoted Nazi and had an affair with Adolf Hitler. So quite the family, Colonel.
Well, and Timmy, I'm going to say this is something you won't read in history books, Timmy.
Okay, you're going to give some insight that we normally wouldn't pick up.
And people, you know, Hitler, they've written so much about him, but the thing that they don't often write about Hitler was a ladies' man, Timmy.
He was a ladies' man.
He was a ladies' man, and it was that mustache, Timmy.
Oh yeah, what about the mustache?
That form of mustache, Timmy, they used to call it the clit tickler. That little brushy thing right on the thing.
Did it get its name from Hitler then? The Hitler? The clitter?
No, the ladies used to call him Clitler.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it'd be like, how Clitler? How Clitler? Because he would do
it. He had screaming how Hitler while
that's
he was going down on him.
Yeah, Gary. That's why he wouldn't let any of the other men in the Nazi party have that kind of mustache.
I see.
Because he was saving that particular. It was the brush.
You probably couldn't wear that mustache if you were in Germany.
You no, you wouldn't. And you couldn't wear that mustache today either.
No, I think he kind of did.
He killed that technique
for
everybody.
Yeah, he killed
that
style for forever. Yeah. I mean, there's so many. You know, if you watch the History Channel, it's like, it really is the Hitler channel. It's like, all Hitler all the time.
All Hitler, yeah.
And, you know, I swear to God, one day I was watching it, and they had to show, one day he was a drug addict. The next day, the next show came on, he was homosexual. Mm-hmm. And then the show after that, he was a meth addict and asexual. And then they had a show on where he was banging all these women, so... I think pretty much he's considered to have been asexual. He liked women to dote on him, like Goebbels' wife. Mm-hmm. Goebbels' wife, she doted on him and stuff. And he did have, of course, he married Eva Braun.
Yeah.
But he who will come up in
he Goebbels. Married her and shot himself.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that might be the best approach to marriage. But he had these weird relationships. Like, he had a relationship with his niece.
His niece, yeah.
Who ended up killing all the women that Hitler's been around kills herself. Because
you know why? Because he does that clit tickler thing clitler. On him, Timmy. He does the clitler on
and
him.
And they're running after that.
They just, how are you going to compete with that? I mean, they're just like, you know what? Hell with that. I've reached the pinnacle. I'm just done. I can't, you know.
So that's it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you can grow one of those big bushy beards that don't do the same thing.
Yeah. It's that little.
It's that little brush.
Yeah.
It's that little brush he got on his
nose. Well, you know, he had his niece that he had this weird relationship mm-hmm. with, and she ended up killing herself with his gun. And of course, Eva Braun at the fall in the bunker, she killed herself. And now the lady we're going to talk about today, Unity Mitford, would end up killing herself too, and also with his gun. So,
damn, he should have locked that son of a bitch up.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get to a little background on the Mitford family. The girl's father was David Freeman Mitford. He was the second Baron of Ridsdale. I don't know what that means, but you know, I never can understand.
He was the backup Baron.
I can never understand the British aristocracy. I don't understand. You know, I know there's lords and barons and, you know, ladies and dames and all that, but I can never understand like how it works. But anyway, he was married to a woman named Sydney Bowles. I wonder if she was a relation to
Camilla Parker Bowles.
Camilla Parker Bowles.
I wonder
Bowles.
If she looked like an equine.
I don't know. But they were actually related to Churchill. They were like cousins to the Mitford girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Winston Churchill.
I like Churchill.
You see, I thought you would. I thought Churchill would be your kind of guy. I went to see Darkest Hour.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually pretty good. I don't know how historical accurate it was, but it was pretty good. I'm not a big Churchill fan because he kind of reminds me of Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he never met a war he didn't like.
Yeah, I know.
But I will say, I think he was the right person, the right time, the right place.
He wasn't, they got rid of his ass right away.
Yeah, like as soon as the war was over.
As soon as the war was over, we're done with you.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, he was wrong. When he was wrong, he was really wrong. Gallipoli, India.
Yeah.
But he did, in fairness to him, he warned about the Nazis. And like I said, I think he was the right person, the right time. But you're right, as soon as the war was over. I think even, I have to look it up, I think it was like even in 1945, the same year the war ended.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was right after the war was over. As soon as the war was over, they were like, we're done with you.
Yeah, thanks. Go write your books now.
Yeah.
Anyway, this family was related to Churchill. David was a member of the House of Lords, but he kept a pretty low profile as a member of that chamber. He was a bit eccentric and was prone to fits of rage.
Hmm.
Yeah, he sounds like one of our serial killers.
And our co-host.
Although he was really sounds like our absent co-host. Although he was a large landowner, he was not really wealthy. And it's funny to, like, the Diana Mitford, she lived to be, like, almost 100 years old. And I saw an interview with her on YouTube. It was, like, from the 1980s. And she still is excusing, you know, she still was excusing Hitler. But anyway, she said, she described the family as a poor, rich family. So, in other words, they was wealthy compared to the average person, but in the circles they ran in, they were considered poor.
Poor.
If that makes sense. But anyway, they were seven children in all, and with seven mouths to feed, and of course servants, you have servants to pay, Colonel. He could not maintain the expense of his large home. They had a large home in northern England, so he bought this other manor called the Asthall Manor, and so his family moved there, and the family was pretty much isolated. Like the kids were homeschooled, and they didn't really socialize with any of the people in, you know, nearby. They did socialize some with the aristocracy, though, but in terms of like people in the village that they lived, they had very little interaction. He was disappointed that he only had one son. He, like I said, of all the kids they had, he has seven children, only one son. David did not believe in formal education, so all of his daughters and sons were homeschooled by a governess. Did you have a governess when you were growing up, Colonel?
I had a governor.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah, he was.
Strickland?
He was a mean man.
How was he?
Yeah, he was not a pleasant man.
Okay. He had him homeschool. He built up a pretty extensive library. So all of his children became very well read, even though they didn't have much of a formal education. And like I said, two of the daughters went on to be best-selling authors. So I guess they did something right.
Some of the smartest people I know don't have formal educations.
Well, the thing with them was, though, they were well learned. You know, they read a lot, and they were educated, but they miss the social interactions of going to school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, if they were just staying on that
estate. Yeah, they were on the estate in a rural area, and the family pretty much kept to themselves. So these kids, these daughters, were like always competing with each other because that's, you know, normally you get in a school setting and you get your little cliques and you get, you know, you're competing against other kids or you're developing relationships with other children. They just had each other.
Yeah.
As they grew older, they became more engaged, though, in British social circles. I'm sure like you do, Colonel. I'm sure you travel in some pretty...
I'm actually... I kind of hang out in the Taiwanese...
Oh, are you? Taiwanese aristocracy?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. Well, but, you know, Brent...
in Romania.
Ben and Rosanna, you know, they travel in these circles.
Oh, yeah. I run into them from time to time.
Oh, do you? SRAs and
yeah.
I'm sure you'll be at the world. They'll be at the royal wedding. Don't you think?
Well, you know, it's people can often confuse me and Ben.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
One of the podcast guys. Which one's Ben? Which one's Chuck?
Their voices
sound similar. They kind of look alike. They both got Ben's got more tattoos.
Will you guys be going
to
the royal wedding next year?
I do not know if Ben's taking me as his date or if he's taking Rosie.
She's his wife.
Yeah, but I'm his friend.
Oh, that's true. I'm sure it'll be a coin flip. So anyway, they started engaging in British social circles. I said they were relative. Actually, two of the girls would go on. You know how this aristocracy is. It's like a big incestuous relationship. Anyway, they were related to, they would go and marry their cousins. One was, as I said, one of their, one would include a nephew, Winston Churchill. I said they were related before, right? And the other one was, related to another, prominent.
That's why I got they all got that, homophilia to me.
Now that's the royal family. Hemophilia, you mean? It's a homophilia.
Whatever it is.
like I said, the girls were fiercely competitive with one another. And this was a trend that carried forward throughout their adulthood. And we'll kind of get into that when we get into these stories. The girls grew up in the early 20th century, where they would become well known and often photographed by the press. And they attended these important social events. So it was, again, you know, kind of the paparazzi would follow them around, and they would, you know, they were kind of famous for being famous.
Yeah.
Not like you, Colonel. They didn't earn their fame.
I have earned my fame the hard way, too.
I know, but they didn't. But now Brandy's kind of famous for being famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She hasn't really done
and
anything.
And famous for her bad behavior. And that's what these girls
infamous, kind of, really.
Yeah, yeah. Infamous, exactly.
Slutty.
I am not touching that. in the late 1930s, with the rise of Mussolini in Italy and Brandy's good friend, Adolf Hitler, in Germany, I think Brandy was good friends with both Benito. She called him Ben, I think.
Big Ben.
Yeah.
Big Ben.
El Duce. I think that's what she called him, wasn't it?
The Deuce.
Yeah. And she was, of course, Brandy's good friends with her Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
The children became enamored with fascism. And we're openly anti-Semitic. So these are, you know, very lovely girls. Obviously. Something to be proud
just
of.
Just openly anti-Semitic.
Exactly. The one exception was the youngest daughter, Jessica. And she would go on to become a devoted communist.
Well,
so,
you know, they were a diverse family, Timmy.
They were very diverse. The daughter who was considered the most attractive was the middle daughter, Diana Mitford. In 1928, at the age of 18, she became engaged to and married Brian Walter Guinness of the Guinness.
An Irishman.
Yeah, he was an Irish aristocrat and heir to the Guinness brewing fortune.
So she did pretty well
for
herself.
Well, she did, but she apparently didn't like marriage. She got bored pretty quickly. Initially, her parents were opposed to the engagement. They went ahead and got married anyway, and then the family kind of accepted it when they found out how much money he had.
That would change my mind.
Yeah, so he was loaded.
The marriage was short-lived, however. They moved on an estate, and Diana was just, you know, she's 18. She just got bored pretty quickly. She started to have an affair with a guy by the name of Sir Oswald Mosley. And this guy is an interesting character. He was a member of Parliament, the youngest member of Parliament. But he would resign his post to found and lead the British Union of Fascists, Colonel. So she knows how to pick them.
Yeah.
And this guy is I went to see Darkest Hour, and this guy's actually mentioned in this.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, because in 1940, when Germany was, when it looked like Germany would invade British islands, they were afraid that this leader of the British Union of Fascists, this Mosley guy, would be installed as if there was an invasion and Germany took over, they would install this guy kind of as their puppet.
They should have killed him.
Well, we'll get to that. Diana fell madly in love with Mosley and told him, but this is before the war, right? This is when early
1932.
She fell madly in love with Mosley and told him she was willing to walk away from her marriage and wealthy lifestyle to be with him. And so they had an affair, but he was married at the time, Mosley was, and he refused to leave his wife for Diana. But Diana left her husband for him anyway, so she walked away from her fortune, got a crappy apartment just to be near this Mosley character.
He must have been hung
you're going to leave, the guy. Well, first of all, you're married to a Guinness. The guy's rich. You can get all the beer you want.
He might have had a tiny wiener, Tim.
Maybe that's it. Although I think most fascists have tiny wieners.
I believe they do.
Yeah.
I believe it comes with
they
it.
They compensate by
that's why Hitler had to get the mustache.
And things, huh?
Yeah, that's why Hitler had to get the mustache. Yeah. A tiny wiener wasn't doing nothing for the ladies, but Hitler learned a trick.
So in 1933, so she leaves her husband to just kind of be near this Mosley character. In 1933, as fate would have it, Mosley's wife dies. So she dies unexpectedly. And so Diana thinks, okay, now his wife is dead. I should be in pretty good shape, right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah.
Well, he starts dating his dad's wife's younger sister.
What?
So he fucked over a little bit. But she was persistent. She stayed with it. And eventually... Mosley and Diana became a couple in 1934. And they would end up getting married. This strained the relationship with Mosley and Diana and her sisters, especially with Jessica, the devout communist, because she hated fascists. But the other sister, Unity, she became fascinated with the fascist movement. And there's even rumors that Unity and Mosley had an affair. So this is, it's all fucked up. In 1936, Diana and Mosley were married in London. So she was now married to the top fascist in Great Britain. Meanwhile.
I don't know if that's something to brag about.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Diana's sisters, younger sisters, Unity and Jessica, were developing their own political awareness. At 16, Unity became enamored with the new German Chancellor Adolf Hitler. I mean, from afar, just by newsreel. Mm-hmm. She didn't know him at that point. And as I said, Jessica became a committed communist. They shared a room in their home, and on Unity's side of the room, it was decorated with swastikas and photos of Hitler, probably like Brandy's, Brandy's.
She had
at home.
She got the big three in there.
Yeah. So Stalin and
Pol Pot.
Pol Pot, yeah. So on one side of this room, these girls share Unity's side, their swastikas, photos of Hitler and such. While on Jessica's side of the room, it was painted red and covered with a huge hammer and sickle.
That seemed like that room had a bad juju in it, Timmy.
It does, doesn't it? Oh, man.
Can't hardly bang
it's not like picking out which of the
Yeah, are you
new kids on the block that you like. You know what I mean? It's either Hitler or Stalin or whatever. So anyway, initially the girls' obsessions with politics seemed just like a bit of a sibling rivalry. But as time went on, the girls would discover their political interests would have real-world implications. So we're going to talk about that. Jessica, the youngest, developed a disdain for her family and for their opulent lifestyle. So she kind of turned away from the wealth.
She was a communist.
Yeah, she had communist leanings. And she became known as the red sheep of the family, Colonel.
I like that one.
And by the time she was 11, she was already depositing her weekly allowance into a savings account that she called her running away fund, a fund that she would eventually use to run away.
Run away.
In 1937, when she was 19 years old, Jessica ran away with her cousin by the name of Edmund Romilly. Edmund Romilly was the nephew by marriage of Winston Churchill. I bet, you know, I can't see Winston being really happy with these girls' choices at this point. He hated communists and he hated fascists. I can't see him being really supportive of their choices. But anyway, Jessica and Edmund fell madly in love and eloped to Spain. The two joined forces in the joined the anti-fascist forces who were fighting Francisco Franco in the Spanish Civil War. Romilly picked up work as a reporter and war correspondent for the News Chronicle. So she runs away from home when she's 19. She disavows her family, runs away with her cousin, and joins the communist cause in the Spanish Civil War. After seeing the atrocities committed by Franco in Spain, Jessica spoke out against fascism and spoke out against her older sister, Diana, who, of course, was at this point married to the leading fascist in Great Britain, Mosley. So after the war, after the Spanish Civil War, Jessica and Edmund moved to London and lived in the East End in a mostly poor industrial area. Although back in England, Jessica refused to have any contact with her sisters or brother, Tom. Tom was, as we said, was also a devoted fascist. Jessica gave birth at home to a daughter, Julia Decca Romilly, on December 20th, 1937. The baby died of the measles epidemic the following May. And the measles was spreading throughout, you know, this basically slum that they were living in.
Yeah.
And had she, you know,
has she kept the money, the baby
had she lived in the rural part of England with her family, she, their daughter would probably
Got a vaccination, Timmy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, our friend Unity continued to be enthralled with Nazi Germany. Now, this is, you know, late 30s now, and with Adolf Hitler. Because Diana's husband was the head of the British Fascist Party, he and Diana were invited to Germany by Hitler, by the Nazi Party, and they invited Unity to join them. Yeah, that probably was a mistake. Yeah. You can see this train wreck all right now. You don't even have to know the story.
You know there's going to be a bunch of arguments at dinner. Yeah.
You don't even have to know the story. Attractive 19-year-old girl going with her older sister to meet Hitler. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not going to end well. Anyway, Unity went with Diana and her brother-in-law. They traveled to Germany as part of the British delegation from the British Union of Fascists to the 1933 Nuremberg Rally, where she saw Hitler for the first time. And if you want to impress a woman, take her to the Nuremberg Rally.
Oh, yeah, that was a big
deal. Yeah, that's a way to get in her pants. Anyway, Unity would later say the first time she saw him, meaning Hitler, she knew there was no one in the world that she would rather meet.
I think she wrote a song. The first time ever I saw
I think Hitler. She wrote that. Unity wrote that song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 19 years old Unity Mitford developed her plan to stalk the Fuhrer, Colonel.
That sounds like one of those technopop songs. Stalk the Fuhrer. Stalk the Fuhrer.
Kind of does. A little mix there.
Yeah.
Techno mix.
Stalk. Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Stop the Führer.
Unity told her father that she wanted to study German. Ah, the old I want to study German boy.
Yeah.
And he paid for her to travel to Munich and enroll into a language school in Munich. I've been to Munich, and it is.
Munich.
I've been to Munich, too. I've been to Munich, and it's really not. I mean, Bavaria is beautiful, but there's not a whole lot going on in Munich. But I did see where the beer hall push occurred. That was kind of cool.
Pooch.
Unity rented a flat near Nazi's headquarters, as, of course, every young woman would do.
Oh, yeah.
Unity learned that Hitler loved dining at a restaurant called the Osteria Bavaria in Munich. And every day she would sit in the cafe waiting for him to come to this restaurant. At first, she would see him there. She would smile at him, and he would smile back. After about 10 months of this, Hitler finally asked one of his aides who the young lady was, and they informed him that she was an English aristocrat whose family was sympathetic to the Reich, and Hitler invited her to his table. Mm. They had lunch. They talked about over 30 minutes, with Hitler picking up the check. So well, never let be said that
Hitler was not a cheap man.
No, he was not a cheap tyrant.
No.
of course, I mean, who knows? He probably didn't pay the bill.
But you know, Hitler was a terrible tipper, Jimmy.
You know, I read that because all of Germany's during the war, Germany's postage stamps had Hitler's face on it.
Mm-hmm.
He got paid royalties for that.
Did he really?
Yeah. He got paid.
Nice.
And then, like, every school was required to teach Mein Kampf, mm-hmm. and he got royalties.
Oh, yeah, he got royalties
that.
For that, yeah.
So anyway, Unity was beside herself with excitement, of course, to meet the Führer. And she wrote a letter home to her father in which she said, "It's the most wonderful and most beautiful day of my life. I'm so happy that I wouldn't mind a bit dying right now." Well, I wish she would have. Wish we could have helped her with that. "I suppose I am the luckiest girl in the world. For me, he is the greatest man of all time." Well, that makes you want to puke.
Yeah.
Over the next 5 years, the English schoolgirl would become a member of Hitler's inner circle.
That's
kind of like
our
friend Brandon.
I wonder if she ran into the devil there,
sure
Jimmy.
She did. So tell us what happens next, huh?
Well, Unity started hanging out at every major Nazi event, Timmy.
All right.
And rally. She switched. She
and
watched.
You can see, by the way, just, I don't want to interrupt
you.
Yeah,
you can see her.
Yeah, there's footage of her where you see her at the, when you know, you've seen the footage of Hitler going into mm-hmm. Austria.
Yeah.
And there's Unity. She's like on a balcony.
Come on.
It's like, you remember the Woody Allen movie, Chameleon?
Yeah,
they show him with the Pope and
like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I mean everywhere, like the Nuremberg rallies, the Hitler Youth rallies, and you'll see her there. You'll see her in the footage. So I'm sorry. Continue, Colonel.
No, but she watched the Olympics from Hitler's private box in 1936. Now, in a weird coincidence, Timmy, Unity was conceived when her parents were panning for gold in Canada in 1914. In a little village called Swastika, Canada, Timmy.
Oh, you think she dropped that line on him?
Yeah, you know she used that all the time. Now, Hitler became smitten with this young blonde British girl, and he was struck by her curious connections to the Germanic culture, including her middle name, Valkyrie, Timmy.
Ah, it was like a German Nordic god or Nordic
yeah.
god.
Now, Mitford's granddaughter, Algernon Freeman Mitford, had been a friend of Richard Wagner, one of Hitler's idols. Now, together, Hitler and Unity. Hitler and Unity live together in perfect harmony. So I don't sound like a song to me. But anyway, Hitler and Unity. How did she get such a fucked up name? Because her sister's got normal names.
Unity, what is it? Unity.
Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Mitford. Yeah. Sounds pretty
snobbish.
Well,
Unity is like a sweet kind of name. Yeah, and then you got Valkyrie. I'm going to draw you all together and destroy you.
I had a friend who named her daughter Freedom.
Freedom?
Yeah.
But
yeah, you're right.
There was a kid that went to school with my boys. His real name was Diablo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of a cool name. I think I might go start going by Diablo.
I need to wear a cape. I think you do need a cape, Timmy.
Yeah, to pull that off.
Don't come at the devil with a cape on. She's already made it. So anyway, let's see. Where was we at? Her interaction with Hitler made her even more fanatical, Timmy. When he announced the Austrian Anschluss in 1938, she appeared with him on the balcony in Vienna. When Nazis stirred up trouble in the Sudetenland in Czechoslovakia, Timmy, Unity delivered Nazi propaganda and flyers to supporters
like
and were arrested.
She's like Forrest Gump. Wherever shit's going on, she's there. And you'll see pictures of her in like the black shirt, you know, the SS black shirt. It's kind of creepy, I don't know.
Well, Hitler, she got arrested by the Czech police, but Hitler got her released. And now many prominent Nazis were suspicious of her and her relationship to their Führer.
I would imagine.
In his memoirs, Inside the Third Reich.
At the time.
Yeah, Albert Speer said of this group, one tacit agreement prevailed. No one must mention politics. The sole exception was Lady Mitford, who even in the later years of international tension persistently spoke up for her country and often actually pleaded with Hitler to make a deal with Britain. In spite of Hitler's discouraging reserve, she did not abandon her efforts through all those years. Why didn't she just give him a hummer?
She wanted fascism to take hold in Great Britain, and she was torn up that, that it was going the other direction when it looked like the two countries were going to go, we're going to declare war on each other.
So, Unity was once summoned to Hitler's headquarters, where she continued to discuss a possible German-Britain alliance with Hitler, going so far as to supply lists of potential supporters and enemies. Unity told Hitler that who could be counted on and who would have to be shot, Timmy.
That's kind of treasonous shit.
Well, I got my need-to-be-shot list over here, too. Meanwhile, as relations between Germany and England deteriorated, Diana and her husband, Moseley, came under suspicion of British intelligence.
Well, you know, being the leader of the fascist movement probably gets you on their radar.
And just hanging out, rubbing elbows with Hitler.
Yeah,
that makes
the
people a little,
rallies.
Yeah.
Now, it probably does get you, kind of give you a second look.
He began to spend more and more time with Unity, and their relationship became the source of speculation in the British press.
Sounds scandalous.
Oh, yeah. Unity went so far to give interviews in the German press that published photos of her wearing a black shirt similar to those worn by the SS, Timmy.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I saw in videos and things. And like I said, it's pretty creepy.
In an article, Unity praised Hitler and the National Socialists. She urged fascism for England and stated that she hated Jews. Now, that's just a mean thing to say.
Well, you know, Nazis are like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're, what are you gonna do? Nazis are pretty.
They're not a tolerant group of people.
No. They're not very tolerant at all.
Exactly. In the article, she praised it, Hitler, and she became basically a tool for Nazi propaganda. Unity even gave a speech at the National Rally of Hitler Youth and denounced Jews. If you're all for fascism and stuff, but why? You know, I never made that connection. Why you got to turn on the Jews? It just doesn't.
It's a stupid thing to try to figure out because it's a stupid. It's a stupid movement, but you know, I guess they're anti-communist and that's what I never could understand. Okay, so they're anti-Bolsheviks, right?
Right.
Okay, so. They tie Eastern Europeans and Jews and Bolsheviks like all together, right? And yet they blame the Jews for being, you know, capitalist. Wait a minute. You have to pick one or the other. Are they uncaring capitalists?
The money changers,
Are they communists? Pick one or the other. But, you know, it's who it's you can't understand it because it makes no sense. But
no, but they just seem to be. Well, that never made any sense to me. But Unity was widely condemned in the British press, with many calling for her arrest and impounding her passport, Timmy.
Sounds like that would be an appropriate thing to do for treason.
Yeah. Now, his relationship with her did not sell well with his mistress, Eva Braun.
Oh, Eva's getting pissed off.
Yeah, Eva's getting a little aggravated. Now, in 1938, Timmy, Eva attempted suicide after noting Hitler's relationship with Unity in her diary. Hitler seemed to play the two off each other, enjoying when they showed jealousy, which man doesn't, Timmy. We like to do that. The colonel has had many a woman fight over him, so I know how Hitler was feeling here.
I read it where they that Hitler stayed single so that he could appeal to German women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that was like if he got, they were afraid if he got married that he'd lose some of the support of German women who all, you know, I don't see a lot of people throwing panties at her Hitler.
Room ballet.
Yeah, but apparently there weren't a whole lot of G-strings up on the stage.
You
know, right. But, you know, it's, it gets in the whole Hitler topic, which you want to say, and I'm not excusing Hitler. He was, you know, he was evil. But he didn't kill all those people by himself. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, he had some help. And it wasn't like, oh, you know, that guy. Yeah, I'm glad he's gone after the war. You know, he had to have some support along the way to kill 6 million people.
Well, that's hard. That'd be a hard thing to do by yourself.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But everyone was like, no, you know, we were just following orders. We were doing what he told us to do. Well, yeah, I don't think that can fly. I don't think that flies.
Now, in my lifetime, I have myself disappointed over 6 million people, Timmy.
Especially women, right?
Especially women, yeah.
Including your mother-in-law.
Well,
Does she have anything in common with her?
She's over 40, though. She's over 40. I don't know if she's really a woman, Timmy.
Does she have anything in common with her Hitler?
The mustache. She got the mustache.
Does she listen to the podcast?
No. No. So in 1938, Hitler gave Unity a choice of four apartments in Munich. One flat lived in by a Jewish couple. Unity went to see the apartment to discuss her decorations and design plans while the soon-to-be dispossessed couple was sat in the kitchen crying. What kind of motherfucker is this?
So you're walking in there.
You got this two little old Jewish people sitting at the kitchen table. And
Losing
their home. And they're like, you know, I think I'm going to change your curtains.
She's measuring
in
the drapes.
Yeah,
I don't think she was a very nice person. I think that's well established at this point.
Well, anybody that really wants to hang around Hitler. I mean, I even think His German Shepherd was a prick to me.
Blondie?
Yeah, I don't even like a German Shepherd. So the 1939 Bayreuth Festival, Hitler warned Unity and her sister Diana, who was visiting, that the war with Britain was inevitable within weeks and they should return home.
Speaking of that, most all presidents have dogs. I've seen Trump criticized this week for not having a dog.
What kind of prick doesn't have a dog?
I mean,
that's why I didn't like him.
Trump deserves a lot of criticism.
To me, that's the big criticism. When you
Hitler
don't
had
like
a
dogs,
dog.
I know.
Mussolini
that's what
had
I'm
a
saying.
Dog.
Exactly. At least you got the worst tyrants in the world. These motherfuckers can at least get dogs. But Trump's like, I don't like dogs. Well, what kind of prick are you now? At least pretend not to be a big prick. What president doesn't have a dog? Yeah. A dog is a national. I think every president.
I don't know that for sure, but. But every
I gotta tell you,
the
last few dogs
has had a dog because the Obamas, remember, they bought one.
Yeah, you know what? They disappointed me with that dog. Bush had that little ankle biter dog. I mean, I want to see a sumbitch come out with
a
big Rottweiler. I want a Doberman. I want somebody who can just, pit bull, just big old scary looking thing. That's what I want for the president's dog. So anyway, now at the Bayreuth Festival, Hitler warned Unity to go home. But she decided to stay in Germany. Now, in September...
Yeah, because right now, this is moving in 38, 39. Relations between Germany and Britain is starting to worsen.
Yeah.
Well,
they're about to get really bad because on September 1, 1939, Germany invaded Poland, Timmy.
Yes.
And that was soon followed by a declaration of war between Germany and Britain. Distraught and alone in a Munich apartment, she heard the news about the declaration of war. She took a walk in the English garden, took out a pistol that Hitler gave her as a gift. Unity placed it at her right temple and squeezed the trigger. It lodged in her brain but did not kill her. See, that's why you don't do that, Timmy.
Not the right temple?
You don't do it, period. You don't shoot yourself with a gun. You end up being a vegetable. Jump if you're really going to do it, there's two ways.
All right.
Trains
uh-huh.
and jump from a high building.
Okay. But we're not advocating either.
We're not advocating either, but that's a danger. You know, only 70% of people who shoot themselves attempt suicide actually succeed.
Well, she actually is successful, but it takes a while. But,
yeah.
You know, in her case, I don't feel bad. I mean, we do a lot of these stories where, you know, celebrities kill themselves, and mm-hmm. it's kind of sad, but. I'm not feeling her, Colonel.
Hitler visited. Now, doctors wouldn't remove the bullet because they were afraid it would kill her. Hitler came to see her, paid for her medical bills. After 6 weeks, she regained her ability to speak but was left permanently damaged. Meanwhile, Diana and her husband, Mosley, were arrested and thrown in the clink in prison for the duration of the war. Now, by this point, Jessica and her left-leaning husband, Edmund Rumley had emigrated to the United States. In 1940, Edmund joined the Canadian Air Force and was shot down over France.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, because the Canadian Air Force, well, they lost the only plane, I believe. What, they have like two planes?
No,
one wouldn't start.
You know
the other one?
You know who the first, you know how the first Canadian died in the Second World War?
How?
On the Athenia? The ship that that sunk 2 days. I think the day, the 2 days after Germany invaded Poland, which would have been the 3rd of September, a U-boat sank the Athenia, and the first Americans died on that too. I think there were 100 people killed, and Hitler flipped out because he was afraid it was going to be a new Lusitania.
Yeah, get the United States involved.
The U-boat captain sank it by mistake. He thought it was a troop carrier, and because they had the blackouts and stuff going on, and Hitler flipped out because he was afraid it was going to be an excuse for the United States to enter the war.
So Hitler actually spanked him. Huh? He brought him back to Germany and spanked him himself.
May have done that.
Flogged him, tied him up to a pole, stripped his drawers down.
He stayed. I read this thing about this captain. I can't remember his name, but he didn't get demoted, but he never got promoted anytime.
He never
got promoted again during the war.
You know, one of the things you want to do, and I make fun of our friends up north, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. Our Canadian friends.
Our Canadian friends.
Shirley Strapp.
Shirley and Christy Lee and all those other crazy bastards that live up there. But the one thing you don't want to do, and I'll take my shots at them, but you don't want to go to war with Canada and Australia.
Why is that?
Because the fucking people are crazy, Timmy. I mean, they go out and hunt moose with a knife.
Yeah.
You know, these are not people you want to fool with. So anyway.
That's a good point.
He was in the Canadian Air Force. He shot down over France.
Yeah. So at that point, the U.S. had not entered the war.
Yeah.
So her husband, who immigrated to.
But Canada was all over this shit.
Because they were like, their dominion. So he goes and volunteers for the Canadian Air Force, and he's shot down and killed.
Now, the girl's brother, Thomas, who, like Diana and Unity, have fascist leanings, joined the British Armed Forces. But he refused to fight against Germany, so he went and fought in the Asian theater, where the Japanese instead would be killed, and he would be killed in action.
Well, they were fucking fascists. I mean, why would...
I'm not really sure what he was thinking, except that they were smaller fascists. I don't know.
Well, he probably was racist, too, and he probably got the kick out of... fighting Asians or something. Who knows?
Yeah, that was not a theater.
That whole philosophy is so
bizarre. Did not want to be in that theater, Timmy, the Asian theater.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean.
That made D-Day look like a picnic over there.
Yeah, he's gone. So
Diana and her husband were released from prison after the war, despite an open letter in English newspapers brought by her sister Jessica calling for continued imprisonment
Jessica and
encouraging treason charges be brought against her older sister. And that's because she wanted the room to herself, Timmy.
Oh, you think? Both no, Jessica... she's in the U.S. at this time.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Jessica's in her... I'm going to let you continue, but she ends up marrying a civil rights attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And she was big in the civil rights movement here in the United States. Yeah. And she ends up getting pulled in front of the... It's kind of ironic because her sister, of course, went to jail because she was a fascist in England.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica gets threatened with jail by the House Un-American Activities Committee. She had to go before them because of her leftist leanings here in the United States and her work with the civil rights movement. She also wrote, it would end up being a best-selling author. She wrote a book on how the funeral homes, kind of undercover. She went undercover in funeral mm-hmm. homes to see how they rip people off where they're grieving
oh, really?
And stuff. Yeah, it was a big... hit, a best-selling book. She had an interesting life.
Yeah, they would both go on to writing careers, but they would never speak to each other again, Timmy.
Her and Diana.
Yeah. Now, Unity, she came home after the shooting, but she was never the same. And in 1948, Timmy, 3 years after the war, the bullet lodged in her brain caused an infection, and she died on the way to the hospital.
So, see, her suicide attempt was successful.
Yeah, it just took 13 years or some shit.
3 years. 3 years.
So, anyway, there's been some speculation that she may have, that it was, their relationship might have been physical.
With her and Herr Hitler?
Her and Herr Hitler. And it's even proposed that Unity gave birth to Hitler's child. Although these claims have never been substantiated, and her sister Jessica died in Oakland, California, 1966 at the age of 78. Now, her older sister died in August 2003 in Paris at the age of 93. And despite the death of 6 million Jewish people, Timmy, Diana never expressed any regret for supporting Hitler or the Nazis, Timmy.
Yeah, she never denounced him even after the Holocaust. No. That was quite the family there, Colonel.
Yeah, that's
I mean, they're a bunch of fun around the holidays.
I know. They don't celebrate any of them.
Oh, man. Okay, Colonel, your final thoughts on the Mitford sisters.
Unless they had spectacular bosoms, Timmy, I don't think I would want anything to do with them.
Yeah, they didn't look that hot.
No, they didn't look that hot to me.
No. And you know, if you're going to... All right, if you're female... And,
you know,
and you're you're a female Nazi. You're going to have to look hot, or
you got some making up to do, Timmy.
Really, it doesn't matter if you're a Nazi or not. You really need to look hot either way.
Well, yeah, but you know, Nazi women are not known for their sense of humor.
No,
you know, I like a funny woman.
Yeah,
I like if I had to build
Nazi
the perfect
women
woman,
wear those real thick hose.
Yeah, yeah, lederhosen.
Yeah,
and if I. See, if I had to build the perfect woman to me, I'd make her with big boobs and a good sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
And that's all, really.
Yeah. No vocal cords.
Well, yeah, she'd need to have vocal cords to say stuff like, okay, Chuck, or wow, that was awesome, Chuck. Or wow, that was spectacular, okay. Chuck.
But limited vocabulary.
Limited vocabulary, yeah.
Gotcha. All right, so that's the story of the Mitford sisters. Kind of an odd story. You know, I don't really like doing stories about Nazis, but sometimes we do them every once in a while. Colonel, we would like to thank all of our supporters on Patreon.
If you would
like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit, Timmy.
We got some new Patreon supporters.
And we're
getting a lot of support from everyone. We really, really appreciate. We hope everyone's having a wonderful holiday. And Colonel, you want to give us some shout outs to our Patreon supporters?
Let's do that, Timmy. Let's do Heather Poole. Start with her.
Lovely Heather Poole.
Adam McWaters. We got lovely Marissa over at the Vanish Podcast.
Yes.
And speaking of lovely, we got the beautiful Christy Lee with the perfect teeth over Canadian True Crime and Insight, Charlie and Allie.
Who I will go on record and say Christy Lee is not a Nazi.
She is absolutely, I would assume she's not a Nazi, but she lives...
she's Nordic?
She's, well, you know what? The thing about Christy Lee is she is pro-Toronto, Timmy.
Yeah, well... Yeah, so you think there's a little nationalism going on there?
I think there is. Although I will say, and I will admit, I've never been to a place where I've seen so many beautiful women as Toronto.
In Toronto, yeah.
It's an amazing place. Insight, Charlie and Allie.
Yes, our good friends, Charlie and Allie.
Allie, I crushed in that podcast for. Joe Clifford, Mistress Vader, Ron Monasterio, Tracy Smith, Jess, John B., Nene, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Christine Howa, Cheryl Weldon. Let's see, we got Nicholas and Ryan, Julie Rodriguez, Michaela, James Sebright, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stafford, Shelly Garrett, Bridget McClavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savota, Maggie Glover. I like Maggie. Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Maja, my beautiful friend. Tyrone, Amber Scoville, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, Jody Wells, Jody and Sean, Amber Anderson, our friends from They Walk Among Us, Ben and Roseanne.
Yeah. The number one true crime podcast, or number one podcast in the UK.
In the UK, yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. I mean, yes. It's not amazing because they're that good, but I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
I wonder if they're
it's amazing that they're
the
friends with us.
I bet Rosanna is. She looks Churchillian to me. Very, very intelligent, well-read.
Yeah.
She's a lot more attractive than Winston was, though.
She's a lot more attractive than those Middleton girls,
yeah,
too.
Oh, very much more, yeah.
Lorna Violet, Mike Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, the lovely Callie, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike from Pleasing Terrace, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Joe from Now America, Catherine Cockeridge Richardson, Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Aaron, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, Dan from History Goes Bump, Annette Petre, Lise, Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Marika Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut,
yes.
Lovely Don.
And they have that
Backroads to History.
Backroads to History podcast.
Poems by Jeff.
And poems
Backroads
by
to History is really good.
It really is. Well, but they both are, but that Backroads to History is really good.
Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Cindy Lou, of course, Christine Malachinsky. Of course, the one and only Rudy the Wonder Dog, Timmy.
Yeah, and Rudy just had a birthday.
Had a birthday, 6 years old yesterday.
Yes.
We
Happy
took
birthday,
him to
Rudy.
A restaurant that allows dogs, brewery. Our wonderful,
maybe
wonderful
maybe
friend.
Maybe you should send him to Trump, since Trump does not have a dog.
No, you know what? My fear
Rudy
would be.
Is Rudy an independent voter?
He's no, Rudy is a brown dog Democrat to me.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's a brown dog Democrat.
Okay.
And he damn near socialist.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Because, well, look at him. He ain't got no job or nothing. I mean,
he's living off the government.
Rudy's pretty much
a
communist. Yeah.
Is that what you're
he does? He lives off the Walter's teats. So in our wonderful, wonderful friend Lady Beverly. And
the lovely Lady Beverly.
And the matriarch of our show, Timmy, the lovely Dottie.
Okay. And that's got all of our new ones as well?
It does. Julia Rodriguez, Michaela, and Nicholas and Ryan.
All right. We thank you guys for supporting us on Patreon. As I said, if you want to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. Thank you all for joining us. Some of these, we like to do these podcasts when all three of us are available, but sometimes that's not possible. We're still trying to get them out, even if we just have two of us. So Brandy will be back after she gets off her drunk.
And, gets that ankle bracelet off and can come to work.
She'll be back joining us. But until then, we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye,
good
everyone.
Day.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.